Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, homeschooling, a graduation fair, and a special trip on the London Underground. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that's been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by news hand Sam Turton.
Hello.
Jess Ward.
Hiya.
And Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
So how are we this week, chaps? Jess, good week?
Yeah, it's been good. I'm looking at my list on the for the examiner, and it's a long one. So, yeah, it's good stories.
You've been knocking the stories out of the park today. The Courier's just a Jess Ward special, isn't it?
Oh, well, the splash, the front pages, about beehives, actually, and how they've been vandalised, and it's going to be... Well, it could have had a drastic effect on the bee population of Ireland.
What kind of person would vandalise a beehive?
I don't know.
Like, surely they would sting you in anger.
Exactly, yeah, but who knows?
Person you can only describe with words that begin with the little B.
They need to behave, don't they?
Yes.
There you go. Sam, good week?
Up until that joke, yes.
When you come into a podcast recording with me, you know there was going to be at least three terrible jokes. So, good week, yeah?
Yeah, we've been doing Timult this week, which was full of the joys of talking about buses.
Right,
for
okay.
a long time.
You like had transport though.
Trains and trams are interesting. They were just talking about buses that
buses
aren't doing
are fun.
Buses are fun.
So what's new?
That should be a slogan.
What?
What's new?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
That's the best part about it. They spent a long time discussing something, right. And it's looking at eco buses and why the ones that work in London are no good for here.
They're not bendy, are they?
No.
Don't talk about those.
Let's not go down that rabbit hole. Katie, now I overheard you on the phone today. And often we get you to discuss distribution and the heady world that is, you know, sales and distribution of newspapers. And you haven't mentioned this story yet, which I think possibly could be the best story ever involving... Well, Neely's when producer Emma had to go into the Laxey River and fish out a load of couriers. That was quite funny. But this one's right up there, isn't it? Go on, tell us the story that you were regaling on the telephone today.
So, no, I was talking to the auditor and we were going through...
Ivan, let's give him a name check.
The wonderful Ivan. And we were discussing some of the copies of the courier which were not distributed. And there was basically a distributor, a wonderful distributor, whose dad got in touch with us because he needed 50 extra couriers.
Right.
And I thought, oh, was there something, like, did I order the wrong amount? What happened?
That's quite a big number,
isn't
it?
No, we got the right amount of couriers. Everything okay? It's like, no, the dog's eaten quite a lot of them.
No.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
No. That's hilarious.
So it's not just homework. Free newspapers get eaten by dogs as well.
Yeah, dogs love local Manx news.
At least the dog has good taste.
Yeah. True story. Right, let's delve into the news stories, as it were. And Jess, we're going to start off with it. You've done a couple of pieces now on homeschooling.
Yeah, so I there's been a lot of talk about it. It's been discussed in Tin Ward because there's a proposed new education bill. Mm-hmm. And so with this proposal, it's saying that assessments must be carried out for children who are going through home education and the parents must comply with any request by the Department of Education, so Sports and Culture, to provide that information. So I decided to get in contact with some home educators and get their perspectives. And they're basically saying that they're not in favour, the ones I've spoken to, they're not in favour of it because they said, well, how can you make that assessment based on the criteria that you've used in schools when that didn't work for my children? That's why I've taken them out of that system. I mean, one woman, Sarah Hogg, she said that she saw her child disappear when she put him into that kind of system and so really helped to make him flourish in a home environment, and now he's off studying, I think it's like robotics science and something else.
Wow.
So he's doing pretty well. And then I decided to take that a little bit further, and I got in touch with the people who have been home educated or are still going through that. So I spoke to Sarah's two younger children, so that was Josiah and Rebecca, and they're not in favour either of the proposed bill, but they were just basically telling me what it was like to be homeschooled, and they absolutely loved it. They said it's just so tailored to them because some of them have learning disabilities. And I also spoke to another chap who was Jack Rowlands, and all of them actually, although they were home educated, they also went into school, so they did like A levels or GCSEs. I mean, they all have their very different stories, But Jack, he actually, when he went into, I think it was Castle Rushen High School, he got the highest grades in A-levels, which was pretty cool.
Amazing, yeah. So the stories are in the Examiner, isn't it, this week?
The first one was in last week's Examiner, and then the one from the perspectives of the home educated, they are in the Examiner this week.
Sam, now, this, quite possibly, maybe one of the best news stories I've seen about in a while. Now, I'm not saying about the way it's written, it's just the subject matter is brilliant, isn't it? Now, on our script it says, Going Underground, which was the headline, suggested headline you put forward, didn't you? And I'm going to let you take up the story now.
Well, this is one of Adrian's pieces, actually. It was Matthew Dunderdale, mm-hmm. who was down in London and went to all 270 tube stations on a... This is actually like a thing, it's a challenge that was done. He did them all in 24 hours.
Wow. That is some going, isn't it? So he's from, is it Ramsey, isn't he, Matthew? Yeah, and he works in the co-op up there, and he does a bit of voluntary work for the Blanks, was it Blanksbow Welfare or something? And he also raised some money for charity when he was doing the Underground Challenge, didn't he? But he was up at his first station, 4 a.m.
4 a.m?
Yeah.
Can I just, do you have to get off the tube, go and have a, walk around the station?
You just have to pass for it.
So you have to get off the train.
So you didn't have to go off, take a selfie with the sign.
No, it's one to stop at. Station sort of thing, and some of it you can't even do by staying on the train. You have to get off and leg it down the road or that sort of stuff. So
was this like a personal thing for them, or did they kind of enter a competition?
It was just personal thing. He's quite interested in it, and it's like an informal challenge that exists.
Yeah,
amongst.
So how many stations was there then? Sorry,
270.
That's mental, isn't it? So he did. I think he did 4 a.m. till 10 p.m. one day, and then he went off and finished the rest on the Sunday.
He did the rest the following morning.
Just because there was a few issues with logistics, wasn't there, and stuff. But unbelievable story. But my question, which I know wasn't really answered in the article, was how much did it cost him? Because I went to London the other week, and to get me from one side to London to the other, just one way, it was £24. So it must have cost
what?
Him, it must have cost him a few quid.
Did you buy that before you got there or anything?
No, I got it. I just got it when I got to the airport.
When you're coming in from the airport, you pay that. But when you're in London actually going around all day, there's a limit on your card. So because you can use cards for contactless, as opposed to Oyster cards, there's a limit to how much it charges you per day, providing you're in zone one or two.
Okay.
So it's limited. I can't remember if it's £10 or £15 it's limited to. As a standard, and then for extra hours, it's sort of up to £20 as maximum. Round about that sort of pricing, because no one I was down in London a few weeks ago now, that was how it was working. I got refunds back off, because it charges you at the time, and then you get it back.
Okay.
But also, I mean, you could buy 24-hour passes or 48-hour passes, couldn't you? So.
Fair play. So there's the whole story's in the this week's Examiner, isn't it? And there's some pictures of Matthew doing his stuff.
I think it's fantastic, this.
And did you see Adrian had asked if you planned to do it with any other underground?
He said he might do the Paris Metro. Which, I was trying to, because I've been to Paris, and the train system's far better than ours. Yeah. I didn't really spend much time around the metro, because I went more out. I was staying out in Saint-Germain.
Right.
So it was like getting the train in from there, but fair to him.
One metro I would definitely recommend you try out is the Madrid one. It's so good. You're going to Madrid, aren't you? You have to go on the metro.
Next week,
It's just so clean and it's so easy to understand. So, yeah, definitely 10 out of 10.
So maybe, Katie, when you're away next week, you could do the Madrid metro challenge for us.
I think my friends would really encourage me to do that.
You could take a mic, do a bit of audio.
Yeah.
This is me. I think we're onto something.
Love up yours. It's like a part
she's in Spain,
Madrid.
Not France. right. So, I think that we should make this happen, shouldn't we? And maybe do get some sort of Twitter poll, and if it says yes, you have to do it.
Yeah, I really don't want to do that.
I think that's
challenge.
A great idea.
That's a great idea.
Get the public involved. Peer pressure. Love a bit of that.
Right, Jess, this week you had someone in to visit you in the office this week for a bit of a chat about a graduation fair, which the government have organised. Is it next week?
It's on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yes, I've had a lovely chat and we'll go into that now.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
So I'm here with Laura Gill, and she is a marketing executive from the Department of Enterprise, and she's here to talk about the graduate fair, which is coming up on April 17.
Yep, next Wednesday.
Yes. So I believe that there's quite a few workshops and quite a few speakers who have come from that perspective of being a graduate and actually coming back to the Isle of Man to take up employment.
Yeah, absolutely. So we sort of designed the day to be really interactive and quite informal, so not necessarily your kind of normal government event, and just to make sure that there were some people that people could really connect with. So instead of bringing a speaker over from the UK, we've looked at our own sort of economy and seen who's doing some amazing things there and invited them along to speak.
Yeah, so who are the guests?
So the guest speakers are Jamie Lewis, who's the co-founder and creative director of Peggy and Lewis, which owns and operates Jeff the Mongoose. We've also got Guy Wood, who's got an amazing story. He's an ex-professional rugby player. He's recently come back and founded Ascent IOM, doing some executive recruitment. We also have Jerry Albacani, who's been nominated as Hidden Talent of the Year at the Women in Gaming Awards. And I think, again, has been nominated for something else just recently. And she works at Microgaming.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
so you've got really quite good. a good, different aspects as well. It's not just one kind of industry, but you've got creatives, you've got people from the business side and people who've like started their own businesses as well, which is really exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was really important that we kind of showed all of that. Obviously, the department's really keen to promote the opportunities around starting your own business, but we know that it's not for everyone, and we've got some amazing kind of businesses that you can really overlook that are right on our own doorstep. So if you come from the Isle of Man, sometimes you don't quite appreciate what's here.
Yeah.
I know I didn't.
So you're a graduate and you're now working for the department, and what was that like for you to kind of come back to the Isle of Man and pick up this career here?
Yeah, well, I was educated on the island and I always sort of thought that I'd leave and never ever return. As much as I love the island, I didn't necessarily see opportunities for career progression here. I went to Bournemouth University, which at the time was as far away as I could possibly imagine, and studied acting, as you can imagine. That's not a huge amount of call.
Very different, isn't it?
Not a huge amount of call for my thespian ways on the Isle of Man. And lived in London for a while. And actually, I mean, I love city living, and I think it's really important for everyone that wants to be able to get away and
experience
that. Yeah, absolutely. But I really started getting homesick, and it was a bit of a surprise to me, and started thinking about what opportunities were here. I'd met someone at the time that was based over here. And since returning, I can't imagine living anywhere else. I'm really lucky to do what I do in promoting the island in my role. And yeah, I think it's just so easy to overlook it. So it's a great opportunity to promote what else is out there. And even if it's for people that don't want to return quite yet, they can just come along, find out a little bit more, and keep it in mind for maybe in the future.
That's it. Because I suppose you've got upskilling workshops. What's that about?
Yeah, we have. So we're working with three of the island's leading recruitment agencies. So Hamblin, Search and Select and Paragon. They're all sort of doing their own workshops. So we've got some CV clinics, like one-to-ones that you can drop in on, and a Paragon Power Hour. So they'll be kind of telling you everything you need to know. I think especially in this day and age with LinkedIn and Facebook, it's really sort of, it's so important. Definitely clean up that Facebook page before you go out into recruitment. So yeah, they'll be really interesting, and they're working with it every day, so they're perfectly placed to sort of pass on that knowledge.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose for some people, when they're creating their CV, that's really daunting, especially if it's like the first time they're looking for a permanent job, and I suppose that some people are very awkward with looking at themselves and trying to big up themselves too. So it's just giving them that bit of confidence.
I think you can kind of, it's quite easy to kind of shy away and not want to kind of promote yourself in the best way possible. But so there'll be lots of takeaways on the day available.
That's fantastic. And so for an island that has pretty much zero unemployment rate, I mean, that's an amazing opportunity for people to come across. And where businesses in the Isle of Man are really trying to get those people in. But what else is there for graduates to enjoy the Isle of Man and actually settle down here? I mean, it's not all about the job, but the wider aspects of what the island can offer in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think globally we're sort of seeing quite a big shift with sort of millennials, and I think it's Generation Z, after whichever the other one is.
Who knows?
So there's been some really interesting research commissioned that talks about how people choose their career paths with a more holistic sort of look at things. Yeah. So it's not always about the money that you'll get, even though we do have higher
average salaries here than in the UK. But it's sometimes about the culture that you're buying into by joining a certain company. Mm. So I think the Isle of Man, obviously, as we know, has a really great quality of life offering. And certainly food and drink has come on a huge way since I sort of left the island. So I think we are getting that slightly more cosmopolitan thing. And it's so, I know it's kind of cliche and it's quite often sort of said, oh, boardroom to beach in a few minutes, but it is a reality on the island. Mm. You know, in evenings I go out on the kayak with my boyfriend, and I just think that there's a lot to say for that compared to big city living, where you're potentially commuting for an hour or more every
just
day.
Just to get away from it.
Yeah, definitely.
That's it.
And we're also really well connected. You know, obviously we've got the new route, like over 200 flights a week, so it's not like you're shunning the rest of the world. No. And you know, stats have shown that we have got higher opportunities for career progression.
This is all happening at 12 p.m. at the Woodburn House.
Yes.
But there's also an event afterwards at the Eagle Labs.
Yep, there is. So kind of what we were talking about with the quality of life and all those other bits that the island can offer, we're working with the Isle of Man Business Network and some of their younger professionals within the network to host a kind of really informal panel session. We've got Just Pizza and Pasta doing pizza. Yep, I'll be there. we're going to have an open bar. So it'll be really, after quite a busy day of networking and a little bit more kind of formal, it'll be really nice and informal, relaxed opportunity to kind of have an honest and down-to-earth look at what living on the island
really is like, yeah.
Yeah, entails.
I know that there's going to be a panel session, which is quite interesting, from Love Tech, and they are a not-for-profit organisation, and they're looking to help people get into those fields of engineering, science, those sort of things. So that seems quite interesting as well. But I was also wondering, is there an opportunity for graduates? Because it's not just for graduates, it's students or just people looking to kind of get into a certain career. Is there a way for them to kind of give their feedback on what they would like to see in the Isle of Man, or what would help them to kind of settle down here?
Yeah, absolutely. So there is a graduate study that takes place at the moment, but it kind of focuses more on the sort of the fact-led and less of that lifestyle stuff. So we'll be sending out a survey to all of the attendees afterwards, looking for feedback, as it is the first event. But we'd also really encourage people to get in touch and kind of communicate with us on the Locate Isle of Man and sort of social page and all of our networks, and start building that kind of graduate relationship, I guess. So not only after they've graduated, but while they're at university, keeping those connections open.
Yeah, that's very important, isn't it? So are there any other ways that they can kind of get in contact, or that they can kind of, if they aren't able to make the event, is there any social media pages that they can go and check out?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, and we also have a great website that's got loads of resources on there. They're all searchable via Locate Isle of Man or with the handle Locate IOM.
So this isn't the only thing that is open to students, but to various people. We've also got the STEP programme. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the STEP programme's been running for quite a few years now with the Department for Enterprise. Mm. And it's a scheme that offers summer placements to undergraduate students, where they can complete an 8-week project with different organisations in the island. So at the moment, the STEP team are looking for any organisations that might be willing to take on a STEP student. It's a really good opportunity to kind of do a little final push if you've had a project that's been lingering for a little while, or something, you know, it's definitely not work experience, and it's not kind of admin and filing, it's something that will be really valuable to the student.
Beneficial.
Yeah, I actually did it as well
Who did you do that with?
I did it with Athol Garage on a marketing project.
Okay.
I mean, poor them, they ended up with the acting student, but I did okay, actually. I came runner-up, so...
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's actually my first foray into marketing, so maybe it was...
yeah, well, it's meant to be, isn't
something,
it?
Yeah. but yeah, it's a really, really good scheme, and anyone that's interested can find out more by going to www.iomdfenterprise.im.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, well, that sounds very interesting, Jess. Mm-hmm. Isle of Man Newspapers going to be there, Katie?
Yep, we are going to be hanging around there. Do you get the gift bag at the graduation fair?
Oh, right.
And in that gift bag will be next week's edition of Destination Isle of Man, which is exciting. Out on Tuesday with the examiner.
Okay.
So if you haven't seen Destination Isle of Man, mm-hmm. it's a broadsheet publication encouraging graduates and people to move to the Isle of Man, all the great things we have on offer here. And you can post it to anyone around the world so that they can see what they're missing out on not living on the Isle of Man.
Amazing.
Yeah,
so that sounds. So that's next Wednesday. Is it Woodburn House? I think
mm-hmm.
it is.
That's it at 12.
Obviously, and will there be? Is it? You doing something in the paper about that next week?
Yes. So we'll get a piece out, and I mean, I would love to go down myself actually, but we'll see how the schedule goes.
Yes, we will. Right, this week's sports story involves rugby. Now I know what you're thinking. Six Nations is finished. Why are we talking about rugby? Well, there is a world outside the Six Nations. And it, locally, it came...
Yeah, there is.
The season... Oh, we're not talking about that. What's that Mickey Mouse one? The Tri-Nations, is it? No, you've got Argentina in because you were getting beaten all the time.
Four Nations now.
Yeah, four Nations, yeah.
The All Blacks or whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Come on.
But you win the World Championship twice in a row and they think there's something.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And then, but they're all...
We are something, exactly.
South Sea Islanders anyway. They just ship them in, give them a passport job done, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Team there, so.
Well, because if you think the English rugby team, the stage were like half of them South Africans.
Yes, but it's different, isn't it? Because we've always, English cricket team has always been rubbish, so we needed to bring them in. But with New Zealand, they're just, you know.
Can we stop Samoans. Dragging my country down the
mountain? We're not dragging them down, I'm just pointing out a few facts. No, it's all fact. If we looked at
their
passports...
Is this what Ramsey did, by the way, to win this competition?
Yes, sorry, yeah, we got distracted. I was talking about the Manx rugby season, and congratulations must go to Ramsey, who won Lancashire. Cheshire Division 3. They won beat Old Bedians and to spark celebrations, wow. Which included running into the sea.
Nice.
And there's a great picture of that in the Examiner this week. But that's not where the rugby excitement ends. This weekend is finals day at Portishee, and the Manx Trophy and Manx Bowl finals take place. One at 1:30, which is the Manx Bowl, which sees Vagabonds B take on Western Vikings from Peel. And then following that is at 3 o'clock is Southern Nomads versus Douglas Celts. So yes, two bits of silverware up there for nice. Grabs there, and there'll be reports on both home games in next week's Examiner. Right, Sam, this week in history, we go back 10 years precisely.
Mm-hmm.
To April the 14th, 2009, and the Isle of Man Examiner of that week. And there was some cracking stories on the front page this week. As always, there's always cracking stories on the front page of our papers, but this week there was a few that have caught my mind. The lead story is about the first green TT and the effect it was going to have on road closure times in the TT 2009 that was happening a few weeks later.
Yeah, it's mad to think, actually, isn't it? That's 10 years that they've been doing that now.
Yeah.
I remember the first year of it, and it was interfering with our exams, I believe.
Yeah, TT0 now, as it's known, but at that point it was TTXGP. Mm. It's a lot of letters in a row.
So, yeah, because this was the thing, wasn't it? They were going to close the mountain road at 4 and close the rest of the course at 5.
Yeah.
Now it's the mountain closes at 5, rest closes at 6, doesn't it, for that? And they're basically just saying to people, oh, well, it's unfortunate that you're going to be inconvenienced, but... This is how it has to be.
Yeah. So they were putting on this extra hour of the practice sessions or qualifying, as it now known, to try and get these green emission electric bikes through their paces. It was amazing. Apparently, they were expecting 24 machines that year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that many came. And now, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Dave Norton is our electric bike correspondent, but I'm pretty sure there's only about a dozen at most make it to the start.
Yeah, there wasn't many this year. Well, last year.
Yeah,
but it was interesting though because it was the there's university teams start getting involved in it, isn't it?
Nottingham. Yeah.
I wish nothing but good fortune to as a member of the Trent Army.
Yeah.
Yeah, they turned up. There's another university, wasn't it, last year as well?
Bath
University?
Yes.
Yeah, Bath.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you got... It's an interesting how it's actually opened up the TT potentially to different areas. So while it may not be big now, we are going greener as a planet.
Yeah.
So there's definitely... This was probably ahead of its time and probably still is to an extent.
Well, we now have, obviously, Formula E, F1's version of electric cars. That's quite big now. I think there's three or four... that's been doing it for 3 or 4 years, maybe longer. Mm-hmm. And the first Moto Grand Prix e-bikes are being launched this year, although there was a big fire in the paddock at the start of the... at last year's TT.
That was also, a university team as well.
Yeah, but also at the MotoGP test this year, so that's delayed the start of that series a little bit. But yeah, so World Motorsport is trying to embrace this electronic electric technology and green emissions as you were. So I think, as you say, we're maybe slightly ahead of the curve in that respect. It's just unfortunate. It doesn't quite seem to have grasped the public's imagination.
Was it, is it one lap they can do at the minute?
Yes, just because of the sheer battery power. I think Mugen, probably, who have won it for the last few years, the Honda back team, they possibly could do two at a stretch, but the rest of them would struggle to do more than that.
I don't know. I think it's interesting to see how it can develop, because it was... Because, you know, he had some big names doing the first few years as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I still think that, you know, obviously John McGuinness still does it, and Michael Rutter, they're in that Mugen team I've already mentioned. But, yeah, I think they will have to stick with it and see where it goes.
I mean, you think about it now, I mean, there is going to be a day where the senior TT will be the first ever zero-emission senior TT.
That, do you think?
That we are on the march to that day. So
I think you'll alienate.
You'll look back at that in 2009 and go, that's where this started. Because that's going to have... You look at F1, even they're admitting they're going to have to start looking at ways to cut down on fuel emissions drastically.
Mm.
So it's going to go that way. And when you get to the point where the bikes can perform as well over five or six laps, or they can get up to the same sort of speeds, then you are going to find that that'll be how things will go.
I think, as you say, it's all about improving the battery life, which, you know, we all know from our daily struggles with our phones, don't we? Talking about things that we'll look back on, did you see the top blurb? The blurb is what's on the top of the paper, technically advertising what's in it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
so,
it.
Jess, if you want to see, what's the top blurb?
So the top blurb says, smoking ban a year on. And that was... So this came out in 2009, so that would have been 2008.
Yeah. So the younger members of the podcast team, do you remember a time going to a pub where you could smoke?
Yeah, I do briefly, but I struggle to bring back those memories.
I can still remember how the Archibald Knox up in Onken used to have a glass door portioned off the family section of the pub, which was where you were uninterrupted by the smoking.
Well, but I still remember going on a night out and having to then have to wash my clothes immediately after because it stunk of smoke.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you just suddenly...
You would. You'd have to shower when you got in from a night out because you would just smell so badly of smoke.
So it actually, in that respect, it gets two thumbs up from me. But
have you,
of people have now used it. That's where they go to chat up members of the opposite sex or the same sex, isn't it? You know, because that's where people congregate. There's no loud music and, you know...
Yeah.
Sam's nodding his head.
Social smoking, isn't it?
It's very unsocial at the minute because the one mate in my group who actually smoked has gone. So it's just me stood outside in the cold now. But it's good on nights out, though, because it gets you away from the music, which I'm feeling a bit old these days.
The grand old age of 24.
Yeah, I've got to that point when
you were old before your time, though.
I was. I'm stood in clubs going, I just can't hear you. What are you saying? Come outside. But...
Got any Daphne and Celeste? Also that week, I thought, who's new at the zoo? Page 9.
Oh, I love this.
And there's a penguin giving us a wave. But coincidentally, we had newcomers at the zoo, Wildlife Park this week as well.
I was really happy to report that there were twin ring-tailed lemurs. And so they have not been named yet because their sexes are still to be determined because they don't want to disturb the mother and the babies from... like bonding.
Okay, because me and Dave Neal, the photographer, really thought it was a situation of they were Googling how to determine how to know the sex of a baby lemur.
I'm sure they'll know.
Surely.
So, are we going to put forward our standard Gary as a suggestion?
Gary, the ring-tailed lemur.
Are they going to open it up, or are they the warden's going to...
I haven't asked, but I think they should. I mean, it should become a public thing.
Lemur, the mum is Lemur face. Or what, lemur face.
The mum is called Acorn. Just
Julian.
Yeah.
Oh, Julian. Like
yes.
Yeah.
Like Lennox.
Lennox.
I think it's cool and timeless for a lemur.
Lennox. Also remind me of Lennox Lewis. The boxer. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Well, we'll have to see how that story develops. I'm sure Jess, you'll be the first one informed when we find out what they're called. Sam, anything else that caught your eye this week in history?
I was just looking at the baptisms in... It's Peel, isn't it?
Peel Bay, yeah.
Yeah, Peel Bay baptism.
Interdenominational baptism on the beach in Peel on Easter Sunday. Did you see how many people went to watch?
2,000.
2,000?
Yeah, 2,000 people. That's pretty much the capacity of the bowl.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's remarkable, actually.
Yeah. So there's a picture of then Lord Bishop Robert Patterson dunking a child. She looks fine though. In Peel Bay, Presumably with 2,000 other people watching.
Yeah.
I love the
but
fact...
But she wasn't the only one. She was quite...
Yeah, the person assisting Robert Pattinson, doesn't actually give his name, he's obviously got his upstairs. He's got his, you know, this vicar's gear on.
I don't know what the official.
I don't know what denomination he is. But then he's got his sports shorts on underneath.
Oh yeah.
So, just to...
Do you know what? Katie pointed out something very important.
Yeah. That this photo. Mm-hmm. So attending this baptism was the legend that is John Madrill.
One of the 2,000, and I reckon he was wet. As it were.
He would still be in his normal clothes, just knee-deep in water.
He won't go any further in case it gets his yellow wet.
Right, from that bombshell onto our next one. Katie's word of the week. Manx word of the week, sorry. You can put the word of the week. You could just be Lennox.
I've learnt a new word.
Yeah.
So last week's word actually fitted in with what we were talking about. And Lyun meant beer. Because obviously we have the beer festival this weekend.
We do.
Beer. Yes. Just starting tonight.
Yes, it is. And I'm carrying on throughout the weekend. Lyun, yes, okay. I like that one.
Lyun.
So what's hit me with this week's expression, as it were?
Okay, I thought maybe you wanted to try and pronounce it.
Arken, sonne. Oh. I nearly read out.
Give that
my notes.
I'll give that another one. Arken, sonne. Because it says to say it with a Manchester accent for some reason.
That's how, in my head, how it kind of reads.
So this will be interesting.
I don't really know what the Manx...
The linguist amongst us, go on.
Accent sounds like Arken Sonne.
Just channel Arken. Liam Gallagher.
Yeah. You have to do it like this.
Like I'm squaring up to
someone. Arken Sonne.
Arken Sonne.
Sounds like you're saying Ayrton Senna for someone who's never heard of F1 before.
Arken Sonne is a really good one. He was the best, Arken Sonne.
Right, Arken Sonne. Arken Sonne.
Less Germanic than usual, so that's a step in the right direction. Yeah. Okay, so we'll see how it should be said and whether it should have a Manchester accent from the Culture of Adam Boys now.
Arken Sonne.
Right, that's nearly it for this week. Jess, mm-hmm. What have you got coming up?
So I've just recently spoken to group members who've set up Save the Bay because they're opposing some of the plans for the Ramsey Marina.
Right, okay.
And my other piece that I'm really excited to report on is, do you guys know Morrison Photos?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the guy in Douglas. He's been putting out photographs that have been sitting in his shop for years, pretty much, because people haven't claimed them yet. And so he's put them up on Facebook, and so...
non-safe for work ones, like...
No, I spent a good part of the afternoon looking through them, they're great.
They're all good. There's, like, graduation photos, photos of babies, and family pics. And
so were these prints, were they?
Yeah, these were prints that nobody had come in and collected.
But yeah, because back in the day, though, you'd have to wait, like, how many days to pick up a...
Unless you paid an extra bit of coin.
Yeah, it was like a fortune.
Yeah,
so these were, like, 1993, those kind of...
Vintage.
Yeah, pretty much. So some people have started to claim them, so I'm hoping to get in touch with those people and get a story behind the photo,
that
really.
That sounds very exciting. So that should be in one of our esteemed publications next week.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Katie, you said Destination is out? Anything else?
So Destination Isle of Man out on Tuesday, and then we are at the Graduate Fair on Wednesday.
But are you? Because obviously you're the Judith Chalmers of Our Man Newspapers. You're away, aren't you?
I'm going on Thursday. I'm off to Madrid and then Porto.
So you won't be here for next week's podcast?
It depends when we're recording.
Okay. Well, it depends if you're going to do the Metro Challenge. I think that's the...
Yeah.
We get it's one, but you get the other. Yeah. Sam, what's on your plate, as it were?
I'll tell you what the most exciting thing I've got is, and you'll be very excited.
I'm always very excited.
One word that defines Ramsey more than anything else, and it's going to be changed. Nightlife.
Are you serious?
There's plans for the redevelopment of the nightlife building.
OMG.
That's big.
That is massive. Right, so when can we find out what's going to happen there?
Examiner Tuesday.
Be there or be square. Get yourself to your newsagents at early doors on Tuesday morning to find out what's going to happen at nightlife. I'm very excited about that. I don't know where to go. I'm all over the chippy now. That's proper. Knock me out of my stride. Right, if you want to get in touch throughout the week, how can they do this, Jess?
So you can get in contact with us on our social media handles, which is at IOM News Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. You can also contact us by giving us a call on 01624 695 695.
Whose number is that?
It's just the generic.
Just general.
News desk.
I think that's it for this week, so I'll look forward to hearing about... I'm hoping we're going to discuss nightlife in next week's podcast.
Yeah, go on, we will do.
And I'm going to the beer festival tomorrow night, so there's surely going to be antics from that.
Do you have a memory of nightlife for you?
I have, yeah, I've been in... I was in there, probably younger than I should have been, but that's another story. but yes, I do have a memory.
Did you ever go in?
I'd never been in.
Katie, did you?
I've never been in.
Oh.
In fact, I don't even think I had like a proper night out in Ramsey.
Because you got to remember, you come back, didn't it, about 2000?
Came back.
2011, it like, 2012.
Like, it was like you remember when Coke did that green?
Yeah.
It was like that. You know, it was Coke, but it wasn't. You know
it come back. Closed actually a lot more recently than I thought it did.
Yeah.
2016.
It's a bit like the TARDIS, that place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. Right, until next week.
Bye for now.